Utina's appearance at the doorway to the Morgan Hall dining room for dinner the following evening was met with a standing ovation of the IBGF membership, which soon spread to the neighboring tables and, by the time she reached the table, the whole of the room. She stood by the end of the table, blinking in surprise for a moment, then broke into a wide, rather sheepish grin and gave a slightly embarrassed wave before sitting down. "Good to see you're back on your feet and smiling again, hey, what?" said Devlin cheerily. "Damn me, I say. Hasn't been the same around here since you went down." "Indeed," said Moose, rising again to give her his courtliest bow and kiss her hand into the bargain. "Life at Table 11 has been a drab, colorless affair without our brightest flower among us." As Utina blushed, Amanda Dessler snorted. "As usual, the men overstate things," she said with a toss of her head. "But it is gratifying to see that your enemy's craven attack hasn't left you permanently marked. Scars are for true battles, not cowardly ambushes. Had I the wretch between my hands now, I would end him in an instant." "Me too," said Azalin. "I'd just take this fork and pow!" She viciously murdered a dinner roll. Utina smiled, but her tone was serious as she said, "Listen, all of you. I appreciate the thought, but if Sionji does come back, please, don't go near him. He's crazy and dangerous, and he's not your problem."
"Not our problem," boomed Moose indignantly. "My dear lady, he sought to rob us of the loveliest, most capable, cleverest, and hardest-working roadie the Art of Noise has ever had the good fortune to possess."
"Moose, I'm serious," said Utina.
"So am I," Moose replied. "I just have a hard time sounding as if I am, sometimes. Here, I'll put it to a vote. That'll make it official. All in attendance, please. I, your Vice President, hereby move that Utina Tenjo be afforded full membership in the Federation, with all the rights and privileges attendant thereunto, despite the fact that we have been able to discover in her no particular musical ability."
"Jolly good," said Devlin. "I'll second that."
"All in favor?" said Moose.
"Aye," said all the others.
"Opposed?"
No one spoke.
"The motion carries," said Moose. "Now it's official. We must protect our membership from the depredations of those creatures outside the group. After all, it's in the Charter, Article 1C.
"But I..." Utina began.
"We appreciate your worrying about us," said Devlin breezily. "But, J. Maurice's parliamentary maunderings aside, it's really very simple. You're our friend, and he's your enemy, ergo quod erat and all that rot. We stand with you against him." He grinned. "I'm not very brave, but I am loyal.
And if you try to do something stupid, like leave the school to protect us," said Azalin, "then we'll find you and drag you back."
Utina, who had been considering that very course of action, now that she was on her feet, blinked guiltily at the Dantrovian and said nothing, which earned her a smug little look.
I don't know what to say," she mused after a moment.
"You don't have to say anything," said Moose.
"Well, welcome to the Federation, Utina," said Kate, smiling.
"The Federation lives forever," said Azalin reverently.
"The Federation lives forever," concurred the rest of the membership.
"The Federation lives forever," said Utina thoughtfully, and she decided she liked the sound of it.
2 days later the term ended, and Utina stood with Kate on the sidewalk in front of Daniel's Hall, facing the quad, with her suitcase in her hand. Free from the requirement of wearing the Big W's uniform, she'd dressed in another uniform, the one she'd been wearing when she arrived. She didn't look quite exactly the same as she had when she'd appeared on the doorstep of 412. Her hair had reached her shoulders, and she had on the watch cap she'd been given for Operation Install the Package over part of it. The bruises had faded completely from her face, though, and as today's ambient temperature was 25 degrees Fahrenheit, it wasn't cold enough for her to have bothered with pants. So the resemblance, with suitcase in hand, was enough to make Caitlin smile a little. She hadn't understood the old uniform's significance at the time,
but now it was quite clear to her. A winter breeze stirred the drifted snow on the quad. An impressive silence ruled the campus. Kate wouldn't have been surprised to learn that she and Utina were the last ones left on Institute Hill. Utina wouldn't have been surprised to learn that she and Kate were the last ones left in Worcester.
So, said Utina.
Hmm? Asked Kate.
Where is he? Said Utina.
Probably got lost, said Kate.
Lost? Said Utina.
Hmm, said Kate. He only got his license 2 months ago. Never been here before.
4 hours worth of lost?
Kate smiled fondly. He never does anything by halves.
Oh, are you sure this is a good idea?
Relax. Don't be nervous.
I'm relaxed.
Good.
Very relaxed.
Excellent.
So where is he?
Utina.
At that moment, an automobile entered the quad from Institute Road, gliding silently between Sanford Riley and Daniels Halls. It proceeded to orbit the quad on the one-way loop that surrounded it, giving both girls ample opportunity to take in its long, gleaming black shape from all sides. It was a large car, long and low, with an impossible-looking span of hood and sharp tail fins. A silver turban grille jutted aggressively from the nose between narrow, squinting rectangular headlamps. The car's great expanse of tinted glass glinted in the waning light of afternoon as it turned the final corner and pulled to a stop in front of them with a barest whisper of sound. The driver's door opened, and a young man, a boy really, climbed out. He was perhaps a year or two younger than Caitlin, a bit shorter and wiry, with short, thick black hair and facial features that resembled hers slightly, but with slightly harder edges and planes. He was dressed mostly in black, black army pants, the latest Art of Noise t-shirt, an unbuttoned black dress shirt with silver buttons over that, black Chuck Taylors with silver laces, and had on narrow black sunglasses that rather resembled the headlights of the car in shape. The thing that caught Utina's attention most about him, though, was the odd pattern of markings on his face. He had a small dark blue triangle at the point of each cheekbone, and on his forehead was a circle about the size of a quarter, with a pencil-eraser-sized dot in the middle. Utina wondered if they were religious tattoos or some kind of odd fashion trend that hadn't reached Earth yet, or what.
"Hey, Kate," he said cheerfully as he rounded the car's great nose. His voice was surprisingly deep for his obvious youth.
"Sorry I'm late. I got a little lost and..." He suddenly stopped, both walking and talking, as though frozen in time. His face wiped absolutely blank. So apparently was his mind as well, for he proceeded to say,
thought?
Kate suggested with an impish smile. The young man shook his head as if to clear it, then said,
"No, Cleveland."
"Cleveland? What on earth were you doing in Cleveland?"
He shrugged, seeming to have recovered his wits from whatever had snatched them away. "Denver gave me a weird approach vector. Had to put Dagger Disc down at Burke Lakefront. Something about a storm system over upstate New York? I didn't see it." He patted the car's fender. "Anyway, there's no storm system on this planet that can bother this baby."
"Well, you're here, anyway," said Kate. "Corwin, meet my roommate, Utina Tenjo.
Utina, my brother, Corwin Ravenhair."
Corwin stepped up on the sidewalk, took off his sunglasses and tucked them into the top pocket of his outer shirt, then looked up at Utina, who was almost a head taller, with the clearest blue eyes she'd ever seen, several shades lighter than her own. He looked as though he had planned to say something, but that was before he'd made the mistake of removing his shades and looking at her eye to eye. Having done that, he just stood there for several seconds, motionless, his face going blank again. The sudden intensity in his eyes caught her by surprise, and she felt a blush building at the bridge of her nose. Caitlin let this moment stretch onward for rather longer than was strictly necessary, simply because she was enjoying it.
Then, when she began to feel slightly guilty, she very softly and decorously cleared her throat, making Corwin jump and, finally, blink. His own face reddened as he put his sunglasses back on and said, it's nice to meet you, Miss Tenjo. Utina smiled, her heart going out to him at his discomfiture, and clouted him on the shoulder in a friendly sort of way. Good to meet you, too. Corwin? He nodded. Call me Utina. Airy Productions Unlimited presented Undocumented Features Future Imperfect, Symphony of the Sword, First Movement, Wounded Rose. The symphony will return with Christmas Rose.